first statement is this: the unidentified flying objects are real. Now remember that people have various definitions of reality, so we'll go into that. But UFOs are real. They really do exist. My second conclusion: they are supernatural in origin. They are supernatural in origin, and I believe you'll be persuaded of that before you leave here tonight. Also, they can appear and disappear at will. The next conclusion: they are demonic and they are deceptive, they are evil, and they are working for the destruction of humanity. The next conclusion: they are helping to prepare the minds of men for the reception of the very Antichrist, the man of sin. Now, there are certain predictions I'll be mentioning, and there are certain other conclusions, but this gives you a basic idea of exactly what we're going to conclude tonight. Now, before we actually get into the fullness of this subject, I'm going to lay a theological or a biblical background. We're going to have a little Bible study to start with. First of all, in the Bible, on the very first page, God introduces himself with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, inasmuch as this is God's primary statement, line 1, chapter 1, in the Bible, this is a very important concept. We're talking about the nature of our omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. In the beginning, God, who has all power, who knows everything, and who is everywhere present in every state of relativity and reality at all times, this God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Bible is not a philosophy textbook, but it embraces, or I should say it expresses, the most satisfying philosophy that man could know of. The Bible tells us where we came from. The Bible tells us where we are going. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of destiny? The Bible tells us that our father Adam was created in the very image of God, and he was not an ignoble, bestial creature. He was a noble creature. He was created highly intelligent. He was created in the very image of the Almighty. Baruch Hashem, blessed be his name. Now let me also say that in the first pages of the Bible, there is revealed to us that there is a tremendous conflict which is taking place. It is a warfare between the powers of God on one hand and the powers of the serpent or Satan on the other hand. And the primary weapon that Satan uses is what? Someone tell me, what is Satan's primary weapon? Deception. Yes, you're right. Lies, deception is the primary weapon that Satan uses. Satan always is working for a distortion of reality. Now, the Bible speaks of the fall of this great angel, Lucifer. Let us read from the 14th chapter of Isaiah. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." The Bible tells us that this great fallen angel who became Lucifer, or rather I should say became the devil, became Satan, in his use of deception as a major weapon, we find him described in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 in this manner, that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, when we talk about the end times, we discuss the massive brainwashing, the massive deception of humanity on the grandest scale that hell could ever conceive. In fact, when you think of Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 2, concerning the coming world dictator or the Antichrist, you discover that he is a great occultist. He is a great psychic. He comes with lying signs and wonders. And then in Revelation, the 13th chapter, I'd like to read that 13th verse. We read verse 14 last night in connection with the 15th verse, but let's look back now to verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beasts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we further discussed some amazing implications of this passage of Scripture in the service last night. But let us now, from this far view, look backward and take a look at recent history. In 1859, a powerful deception arises for a satanic distortion of all concepts of reality concerning the origin of humanity. In 1859, Charles Darwin had completed the book entitled The Origin of the Species. Much to the surprise of both Darwin and the publisher, all 1,250 copies sold out on the day of publication. Later, when George Bernard Shaw was commenting on the immediate and popular reception of Darwin's theory of evolution, he said, "The world was waiting for Charles Darwin. Mankind longed for a theory with scientific credibility which would allow him to throw off the yoke of God's dominion." Quite a number of years ago, I was pondering some of these amazing things. Now, by the way, we have a bibliography available, not with us, but you can write to us and receive it. We have a bibliography of source materials on the subject of the Bible and science. We have a bibliography on the occult, a list of books and source materials. We also have a list of materials on the UFO subject. So if you want any of those, we'll be happy to serve you with this, and they are incidentally sent without charge. Now, we began to ponder the nature of the ultimate end-time deception when in 1952 I saw an outstanding sighting of an elliptically shaped metallic object. My mind was turned to the subject of the UFOs. By the end of 1952, I had made some predictions privately to my friends in Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I did not go public with my predictions until 1955. My prediction primarily was simply this: there will arise a theory based on the UFO sighting phenomena which will allow man to explain away, as Darwin and evolution allowed man to explain away, the nature and origin of man. The new theory based on UFO sightings will allow man to explain away the very nature of Almighty God Himself. And it will be claimed that God is nothing more than a space visitor, and that primitive man, seeing these aliens, being unable to cope with this concept, invented mythologies of gods, angels, demons, devils, etc. Well, after making this theory known publicly as a prediction in four churches in the state of Michigan, in 1955, Pastor Harley Hansel, who today is in the city of Waukesha, Wisconsin, was recently discussing this with me and vividly recalls the prediction I made, the detailed description I gave to what is today known as the von Däniken theory. In the late 1950s, as a matter of fact, there were so many sightings taking place that there was almost a flying saucer fever throughout the world. Now, how many of these were genuine sightings or authentic sightings, I do not know. About that same time, a very interesting theory was developed by a group of Russian scientists. Of course, they're communists, they're atheists, and their views are anti-God and anti-biblical. So when archaeologists researching the area at the south of the Dead Sea came to the conclusion that the biblical account in Genesis of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was actually correct, that it was historically accurate, these Russian scientists had to invent a theory to explain away the inclusion of this accurate account in the book of Genesis. They couldn't accept the fact that the Bible was inspired by God, so they said space travelers landed near Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people who came as angels to try and get Lot out of the city. Well, now, why in the world did they select only Lot? That's rather strange in itself. But at any rate, probably their spaceship had an atomic reactor that blew up, and that's how the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, were destroyed. January of this year, I talked to this gentleman. Here you see him lecturing in the Student Union building at Southern Missouri State University. Now, I can back up what I say because I have this entire thing on a tape recording. My daughter Sandy and I went to hear Eric Von Däniken, author of the book, The Chariots of the Gods, and if the most recent statistics quoted on a television special are correct, there are now 40 million copies of the book Chariots of the Gods in circulation throughout the world. We listened very carefully to the ideas of Mr. Von Däniken, which I tell you are preparing the way for the coming Antichrist. The Antichrist, a human political leader who will be energized by an outer space being whom we know to be the devil. But humanity will not call this satanic inspiration. They will say that it is help from our cosmic friends from some other star system or some other planet. The force be with you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we talked to Von Däniken afterward. There were about 50 students gathered round. And one thing that I want to share with you was the answer to the question, Mr. Von Däniken, how did you begin to derive these theories? Answer, religion. That's it in a nutshell. I hate religion. That's the whole thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Von Däniken really revealed himself as he has never before publicly revealed himself. In fact, if you'd listen to the tape recording we have of the whole speech and the dialogue afterwards, you'd hear some of those students actually gasping as he so reveals the reason why he evolved the theory. The theory did not come first. It was Antichrist hatred of God and the Bible that came first. Well, there are a lot of others now that have jumped on the bandwagon, and the marketplace is flooded with books today describing the so-called Von Däniken theory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the theory of evolution existed before Darwin came on the scene, but we still and all connect evolution with the name Darwin because he popularized it. And so the theory, because Von Däniken popularized it, has the terminology, and the theory is connected with the name of Eric Von Däniken. Now, I'm not even going to go into any details on Mr. Von Däniken's past, how he was first arrested at the age of 14 for stealing Boy Scout funds, or the various times that he's been in jail for various perjuries and con games. I'm not even going to go into any detail on that. The ideas of Mr. Von Däniken must either stand or fall on their own merits. But I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, long before Von Däniken came on the scene, I was intrigued by artifacts of the ancient world. From the time of my late teens until the very present, I have been intrigued with the pyramids of Egypt and the Stonehenge of England. My conclusions, however, even dating back to the time I was about 19 years of age, and perhaps even a bit earlier, were vastly different from those of Eric Von Däniken. I have always believed that Genesis man, prior to the flood of Noah's day, had a high degree of technology, in some senses rivaling our technology of today, and in some ways actually superseding the technology that we enjoy today. I'm sure that there are some of you tonight who have never entertained such a thought. Now, Mr. Von Däniken and others who are writing in this realm see things in the world like the strange markings in the Nazca Plains high in the Andes Mountains in Peru, and they say, well, that looks just like an airport parking lot. And then, of course, they come to the conclusion that since, in their eyes, early man was so primitive, early man was so brutish, there's no way that early man, or even as sophisticated as the Egyptians were, there's no way, Von Däniken says, that the Egyptians could possibly have built anything so marvelous as the pyramids. Conclusion then, it was not man that engineered these marvels of the ancient world, such as the Stonehenge of England, the great stone faces on the Easter Islands, and so on, but rather it was aliens who came, outer space visitors came down to Earth and superimposed their technology on early primitive man. Early man couldn't understand these visitations, couldn't understand the idea of other planets, so they invented mythologies that formulated sacred books like the Bible, the Zendavesta, the Quran, and so forth, and they told the stories of gods, devils, angels, demons, and thus the so-called sacred writings of the various religions of the world were born. This is a debased view of man. It's an insult to our ancestry. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches me that man is a noble creature, that our father Adam and our mother Eve were created in the very image of the Almighty. I'm not the only one, incidentally, who believes that pre-flood Genesis man had a high degree of technology. You might be interested in going down to the Christian bookstore and getting a book by Dr. Emil Gavreluk entitled, Did Genesis Man Conquer Space? That is a very, very viable possibility. After all, our technology has advanced from the horse and buggy age to the space age, the computer age, the atomic age, within about 100 to 200 years of time. Prior to the flood, there was great longevity. People lived 600, 700, 800 years. Technologists would be living, overlapping several generations, not like an Einstein or some other genius, dying at the age of 70, 75, or 80, and leaving behind a pile of notes and research to be sorted out by those that followed after, puzzled over by those who could only half understand their research. Prior to the flood, given the longevity that the Bible speaks of, it would be surprising if man had not developed such a technology as we're describing for you. Now, for some of you tonight, this will not sound like much of a prediction. It is only an amplification of the prediction that I made in 1955. The reason it won't sound like much of a prediction is because you have already seen it partially fulfilled. However, for about 50% of the people here tonight who never previously heard of von Däniken, didn't know what this was all about, this is going to sound like a very strange, bizarre prediction indeed. My first of three predictions tonight is this, and that is that the von Däniken theory will have an impact upon the collective thinking of humanity comparable in scope and extent and maybe even superseding the impact of the Darwinian theory of evolution. And we know that the sciences and the world of education are dominated by the theory of evolution. So the deception comes full circle. From caveman to spaceman, deception in 1859 and following concerning the nature of man, and now deception concerning the very nature of Almighty God Himself. So I realize that some of you think that's pretty far out. Wait till you hear the next two predictions I have to make. They're going to shock all of you, not just 50%, but all of you. On June 24, 1947, Kenneth Arnold, a businessman from Boise, Idaho, was flying a light plane over Mineral Lake, Washington, when he spotted what he described as nine gleaming disks, traveling at a fantastic rate of speed, exercising incredible maneuverability. Later, when he was pressed for details by newspaper reporters, he said, well, I guess you could say they look like flying saucers. And thus an era was born and a term was coined. I'm now going to tell you of an unusual conclusion that has been arrived at by a brilliant scientist who was the technical advisor to the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. In fact, he invented that terminology. The scientist I'm speaking of was for a long time the head of the Department of Astronomy of Northwestern University. He has been consulted for years on the ufology subject by the United States government and by the United States Air Force. And I am, of course, referring to Dr. J. Allen Hynek. His name is spelled H-Y-N-E-K. Dr. J. Allen Hynek has an unusual theory which has been printed in several publications relative to the very nature of unidentified flying objects. I am quoting Dr. Hynek out of many, many who have come to similar conclusions. I am quoting him tonight for one simple reason, to demonstrate to you that a man starting out from a basis of pure scientific research, or I should say analysis, can arrive at a conclusion similar to the conclusion that I arrive at starting from a biblical or a religious or a theological basis. Dr. Hynek said recently that the unidentified flying objects have a definite physical manifestation, but, he said, they are primarily of a psychic or paranormal source. Now, for want of a better term, Dr. Hynek is saying they are supernatural in origin. They are spiritual in character. I want to quote, give you that quote again. Dr. Hynek says the UFOs have a definite physical manifestation, but they are of a psychic or they are primarily of a psychic or paranormal source. Now again, for want of a better term, he is saying they are spiritual, they are supernatural in origin when he says psychic or paranormal. Now Dr. Hynek may or may not change his mind on this subject, but this is the conclusion that he originally arrived at, and he has been widely quoted on this in a number of publications. Of course, we recognize the fact that there are alternate explanations that present themselves to our minds. We're now approaching 29 Palms Marine Base in the California desert near the town of 29 Palms, California. I visited the Marine Base, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago, and was the guest of the commanding general. And as we were having breakfast together, we were discussing quite a number of subjects, and General Reed invited me to attend and view a military firepower demonstration far out in the desert. So I was very happy to accompany a group of officers, and there were only about, I think, 4 or 5 civilians present. All the rest were the people involved in the demonstration, and then, of course, the military brass, the officers. One of the things that I found very fascinating, they showed us some of the laser ray weapons, the laser guidance weapons. They showed us the new super napalm and some unbelievable anti-personnel weapons. But the thing that really caught my eye was the Harrier VTO aircraft, which you see in flight here. VTO means vertical takeoff. Now, this is probably well known to you at this point of time, but at that time, about 3 years ago, I hadn't even heard of such a thing as a vertical takeoff jet aircraft. Although it is a winged jet aircraft, it has no propellers, it's not a helicopter, it is a winged jet aircraft. It is capable of rising straight off the ground, not at an angle. It is capable of rising straight off the ground, hovering in midair as it is hovering here. It is not in motion. It is hovering, and if you look closely, you can see that it's firing off a series of cannon shells at some targets down below. It's capable of rising straight up, going sideways, backwards, frontwards, turning on a 360-degree plane for a complete circle of observation, capable of then traveling at a rate of hundreds of miles per hour. Now, here's the VTO on the ground. As we were watching this demonstration, one officer remarked to me and said, "Well, Reverend, I suppose this type of aircraft could account for the so-called UFO sightings we keep hearing about. However, my research leads me to the conclusion that the sighting of military machines is not the total answer. It may be part of the answer, but there is still an unexplained phenomena in connection with the flying saucers or the unidentified flying objects. The attitude of the scientific community is slowly changing on this subject. The military establishment is taking a new and much closer look at the UFO phenomena. After years of shelving UFO reports as so much nonsense, the Air Force is again looking into the flying saucer enigma. Some very interesting research is now taking place. Several of our astronauts have reported seeing UFOs, some of them fairly close by, while they were in their own outer space voyages. The Los Angeles Herald-Examiner for August 15, 1976, quoted astronaut Gordon Cooper as follows, quote, "Intelligent beings from other planets regularly visit our world in an effort to enter into contact with us. I have encountered various ships during my space voyages. NASA and the American government know this and possess a great deal of evidence. Nevertheless, they remain silent in order not to alarm the people." Now, the sensationalist publication is correct in reporting that Jimmy Carter, while he was a candidate for the office of the presidency, was queried on this subject by newspaper reporters, and he claims that he has seen an unidentified flying object, and he pledged to the people of America through the newspaper reporters that if he was elected, he would abolish the needless secrecy surrounding the UFO mystery, and he said that all information on the subject should be made public. Everybody has something to say on the subject. The strange lady, the psychic of Washington, D.C., Jean Dixon, claims this. She says that she is in spiritual or psychic communication with the pilots or the inhabitants of the UFOs, and that they will be making contact with our government and bringing us a solution to some of the problems that are facing us before the end of this year. When I asked von Däniken about Jean Dixon's prediction, he got very disturbed. He was very upset by this portion of the discussion, but you just have to hear the tape, and we don't incidentally have it as yet. We're going to provide a tape on this subject or a portion of it through our tape of the month in the future. Since 1947, there have been literally millions of reported sightings of strange aerial objects, reports made by all kinds of people from all walks of life. People magazine recently stated that 15 million Americans have reported seeing unidentified flying objects. Now, here's an interesting scripture. The Bible has some very mysterious statements about the end times. I'm reading Luke 21, verse 11 from today's English version. The reason is because there is a word in the King James which could be obscure. This will clarify it. It's the word heaven in the King James, but there's more than one heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere, or the envelope of air around this planet. The second heaven is the physical universe, the stars, and the stellar universe about us. The third heaven is the very domain, the very abode of God Himself. So when the King James says in Luke 21:11, "And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven," we don't know which of the three it's talking about. We find the correct translation in today's English version. I'll read it to you, Luke 21:11 from the TEV. "And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from outer space." Now, along with this unusual and modern phenomena, the UFO phenomena, there come to us many questions that strive to be answered, many questions demanding our attention and research. And perhaps one of the primary questions is this: is there intelligent life on other planets? Certainly we're probing the heavens with our great telescopes, with our electronic probing devices. Is it possible that there are intelligent beings on other worlds, on far distant planets, where never foot of human being has trod, who are also watching us, sentient beings who are trying to observe the activities that are taking place on this planet Earth? Now, our government is taking this question very seriously. 12 of our leading research scientists have been ordered by the President to experiment to find the best way to contact outer space civilizations. This project is headed up by Dr. John Billingham, and he is assisted by Dr. Ikhtiak Rasool. The project is working full-time at the Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California. Recently, Dr. Billingham said, and I quote his words, quote, "There is no doubt in our minds that intelligent life, far more advanced and complex than our own, is widespread in outer space." I quote his words, quote, "There is no doubt in our minds that intelligent life, far more advanced and complex than our own, is widespread in outer space." The U.S. wants to be the first nation to make contact with these outer space beings. And when we make contact, listen to this now, when we make contact, it will be the biggest breakthrough in the history of mankind. These advanced civilizations could help us conquer problems like disease, pollution, food and energy shortages, and natural disasters. Now, as I set forth my biblical view of the nature of the unidentified flying objects, based on the analysis of massive data, of numerous interviews with alleged contactees that I have conducted during the past 20 years of time, based on reports that have been brought to me by hundreds of people, some of them credible and some of them kind of freaky, not so credible. My conclusions are as follows. Number one, there is intelligent life in outer space. My evidence of extraterrestrial, that is to say, life alien to the planet Earth, non-earthly life, is not found in some ancient artifact. It is not found in the pyramids. It's not found in the lines on the Nazca Plains. It is not found in the theories of von Däniken or Blumrich. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is found in the plain, clear statements of the Bible. And I must caution you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not in agreement with the theories of von Däniken. We do not interpret the Bible the way von Däniken interprets the Bible. We are in total disagreement with the theory of the book, The Chariots of the Gods, The Gold of the Gods, Gods from Outer Space, and so on and so on. The Bible describes a vast host of intelligent, wise, benevolent personalities. I'm going to use the word people because I can justify that. The Bible describes a vast host of intelligent, wise, benevolent people of great power and great poise from dimensions beyond this planet Earth, and they are the very angels of Almighty God. The Scripture speaks of angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim, and in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we read of another order of angels being the Zoa, or the living creatures, and they're strange in appearance. They're not human. They're not what we think of as angelic in appearance. They're not exactly animal-like in appearance, but almost a composite. But they're intelligent beings. God has some very strange life forms in His creation. Now, I want to say this, that people come and ask me questions, sometimes before, sometimes after the services. Please, don't ask me the one question I consider stupid. There's only one dumb question. Anything else is legitimate. But don't ask me the one stupid question, do angels have wings? You find me an artist that'll paint angels without wings, and I'll buy the painting. All right. So here we... That doesn't have anything to do with this, really. Concerning the capabilities of the very angels of God, we read how that angels came and ate food with Abraham, how angels can be touched, how that angels are remarkable creatures who are able to materialize out of the very energy fabric of the universe, physical bodies, although they normally do not have physical bodies like we have. They are able to materialize physical bodies out of the very energy fabric of the universe about us for the purposes of manifesting themselves to mankind. The Bible reveals, and modern experiences of angelic visitations reveal, ladies and gentlemen, that angels can materialize physical objects for their own purposes and their own use. Well, then why do I say that the flying saucers are demonic? Maybe they're angels of God. Maybe they're messengers from God. No, their activities and their alleged message show that they are demonic, that they are the very fallen angels, that they are the twisted, perverted, bent spirits, the followers of Lucifer. Now, if there are other life forms other than the angels and the demonic beings, the Bible is strangely silent on the subject. We just don't know. Science has no positive proof. The Bible offers us no further evidence. Whatever we say further would be conjectural. I do have some pretty wild conjectures, but I don't share them from the pulpit. I have a very elaborate theoretical approach to this whole concept, but it's not the type of thing that lends itself to the preaching of the gospel. This is just my own theory, and of course, one person's theory is no better than another. I'd like to say as another observation, I am convinced, along with many researchers and scientists and theologians, that the unidentified flying objects do exist. I go one step further. I say they are evil in their origin and they are evil in their intentions. Now, Dr. Hynek made another statement I thought was interesting in connection with the spiritual nature of the UFOs. He said, "We have, quote, we have too much nuts and bolts evidence to deny that the UFOs have a definite physical manifestation," end quote. He also says, quote, "I cannot accept the explanation of UFOs as being visitors from outer space," end of quotation. This was from a recent issue of People magazine. Dr. Hynek suggests they are from a realm of parallel reality. He attributes them to some kind of psychic force that is capable of producing a physical materialization or manifestation of an alleged spacecraft or UFO or flying saucer. There is a war taking place in the spiritual realm. The Bible talks about the fall of Lucifer, the warfare of Lucifer against God, Revelation 12, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." I left something out there, didn't I? I know I left a phrase out. War in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. What does it say next? Okay, I left that phrase out. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called Satan and the devil." Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the climax of this age, the conflict of the ages, told by prophets and by sages in its fury is upon us today. And I want you to know that the close encounters of the third kind, people who have made alleged contact with the pilots or the inhabitants of the UFOs, certainly lend credibility to the suggestions that I am making to you tonight. I would actually say that there are close encounters of four kinds. The first kind, a sighting of a physical object. Second kind, examination of physical evidence left behind. The third encounter being the actual face-to-face confrontation with an alleged alien or outer space being, which is actually a demonic materialization. The fourth encounter, ladies and gentlemen, is the unfriendly contact where the alien does damage. The third encounter is a friendly, alleged friendly contact. The fourth encounter is where damage is done to the contactee. Now, first of all, I have actually talked to a number of people who say, "I have seen an alien. I have made phone calls. I have sat face-to-face with some of these people who claim contact. I've read a number of books by men like Orfeo, Angeluzzi, Desmond Leslie, Richard Shaver, Raymond Palmer, Buck Nelson in Missouri, Mr. Anderson in Door County. I don't know that he's written a book, but I've read all of his claims as reported in the newspapers. And, well, there are just quite a number of these people. Gray Barker. I had a long correspondence and long dialogue over a period of time through the mail with Gray Barker up until he had his alleged close encounter of the third kind and then went totally occult. He had been pretty straight in his reporting before the alleged contact, and then he just went really off the deep end into the occult aspect. Now, I would like to say, ladies and gentlemen, that people who claim that they have had contact say, "We have a message from our space brothers, and that message is that they are going to raise up a leader in the midst of us. And that leader is going to bring us to world peace. That leader is going to bring us to brotherhood of man and a salvation from the woes and the ills that are facing humanity today. A salvation without Jesus Christ." The Bible says that any spirit that denies that Jesus Christ is God and is come in the flesh, that spirit is Antichrist. And here we have those who claim this type of message and contact, close encounters, we would say, of the third kind. And finally, the acceptance of these concepts brings humanity, not just UFO concepts, but a lot of concepts, brings humanity to the acceptance of the world ruler or the Antichrist. Now, here's an interesting facet of the story. I sat in the presence of the editor of one of the Flying Saucer magazines in his office for about 6 hours. Weird, friends, that's all I can say. Now, that man believes in God, he believes in Jesus Christ, and he hates God, and he hates Jesus with a passion. I will honestly say it is the strangest afternoon of my entire life. Here is the interesting aspect, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, that every contactee of a friendly contact nature, as far as my knowledge goes, every one of them had a prior experience in the occult, parapsychology, Eastern mysticism, devil worship, witchcraft, something in the nature of demonic activity. Now, I think that's very interesting. I have talked to hundreds of born-again Christians who have seen a UFO. I've never met one born-again Christian who had contact, alleged contact, with an alien. Only those who have had this background in the occult, worshippers of Yamanataki, the king of hell, and so forth. All right, are you ready for another interesting prediction? And I'll look into the book of Revelation, the 16th chapter, verses 13 and 14. But before I read the scripture, I'll give you the prediction. I predict that our government and other governments of the world will announce in the foreseeable future, now whether before the rapture or during the 7 years, I don't know. It could be either. But for sure, our government and other governments of this world will announce we are now in contact with alien beings who have come to help us. They are going to solve the dilemmas that face humanity that so far have been insoluble. They have come with solutions. They have come with benevolence. Do you realize how shocking this prediction is? Let me remind you, and I say this with all humility, I've been making predictions of this nature for over 20 years, and I've never been wrong one time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a boast, because anybody can study the Word of God and study the trends of the times in which we live, and you can predict the future. You can anticipate what's coming. Now, if ever any of my predictions, which are not prophecies, they are analytical predictions, if any of my predictions ever fail, don't blame the Bible. It's just that I misunderstood something. So far, I've been fortunate. I've been predicting things of this nature for over 20 years, and I think I've been very careful in understanding the Word of God and the times in which we live. And again, this is not any unique thing. Anybody here tonight can do exactly what I do simply by studying, analyzing the Word, and then analyzing the world situation. I would suggest to you that you be pretty sure before you make public predictions, though. Now, in the 13th verse of Revelation 16, we're talking here about the Antichrist and the false prophet, and something unusual is about to happen. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, please notice, if you will, there will go forth from the Antichrist and from the false prophet, from the beast and the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, here we know we're dealing with symbolism because of the word like. It doesn't say three frogs go forth. It says three evil spirits. Now, evil spirits, in order to communicate, just like an angel can embody himself, the fallen angels or the demonic spirits, they will take strange alien-looking bodies. They're not frogs like little hoppy toads. No, they are like frogs. Roughly, they will be humanoid in shape, and they will have features like frogs. They will go forth, representatives of the Antichrist and the beast, the world government, the false prophet, I should say, and they will go forth for the purposes of persuading the kings of the earth to bring their forces, their armies, unto the very battle of Armageddon. There go forth three evil spirits like frogs. But in verse 14 we are told they are the spirits of devils. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, sent to the kings and the rulers of this world as representatives of the Antichrist. So there, ladies and gentlemen, you have another biblical prediction in connection with our interpretation of the Word of God, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Fourth encounter. First encounter, seeing a UFO. Close encounter of the second kind. And don't worry about that. That's just an abstract by Salvador Dali. I didn't know what else to put in there, so I threw that in. Close encounter of the second kind. It looks alien, doesn't it? That's seeing physical evidence left behind. Close encounter of the third kind. I put my own definition here. Friendly contact. The aliens bring the message. We're going to raise up a leader. Now, the fourth kind. That would be the unfriendly contact. People like Barney and Betty Hill in New England who say, we were kidnapped, we were mistreated, we were given a harmful physical examination. Others tell of beatings. Others tell of mistreatment, of sexual assault and rape at the hands of these aliens from other planets. Now let me say one thing. If you're a born-again Christian, don't be afraid. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. I've never met a born-again Christian that suffered any physical harassment from anything of this nature. In fact, Betty Hill, getting back to Barney and Betty Hill, is convinced, she's absolutely convinced that her husband Barney died as a result of the physical examination that was given to him in or on board this UFO. So here we have a fourth kind of encounter. There's an element of fear and terror. You say, well, it looks like the devil's defeating his purposes then. If on one hand he's trying to show that the aliens are friendly, no. He's got to have an explanation for something. This is very important. He's got to have an explanation for something that's about to happen in this old world of ours. There's got to be a massive preparation of humanity in order that a certain event that is inevitably going to take place can be explained in a different light then actually reality demands that it be understood. Do you know what kind of an event I'm talking about? I'm talking about a trip into outer space. And I've made my reservation, and brother, it's not a spaceship. There's going to be a tremendous, tremendous exodus from this planet Earth. You'll read about it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself, hallelujah, glory to God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There are going to be about 250 million people, I estimate, the born-again population of this world, at least 250 million, that are going to just vanish off the face of this earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, all those people that are left behind, are they going to sit around and say, all of those lovely, wonderful, born-again, spirit-filled people, oh, they were right after all. And here us dirty old sinners, we're left behind to get it in the neck. No way. No way. My friends, they will not say the rapture of the church has taken place. They will demand of our scientific community an explanation. What has happened? Where have these people gone? Answer, the UFOs are real after all. About 250 million Earth inhabitants have been kidnapped. They will be altered by some form of brain control, such as electronic stimulation of the brain, a technique that we are already capable of using to reduce a human being to a radio-controlled robot, and I'm not kidding you, friends. We don't have time to go into this, but this kind of technology is already in the hands of man. And so the inhabitants of Earth that are left behind will be told, and we're going to have to watch out because these altered people, these people taken out and altered by the aliens, will be the shock troops of a forthcoming alien invasion for the takeover of the planet Earth. You know, the devil always tells about 50% truth and 50% lies. He never tells a pure lie. He always mixes a little bit of truth in it to make it attractive. You better believe that we're going to be taken out. Glory to God. That's what we call the rapture of the church. When we're caught up to meet Jesus Christ, as the scripture says, we shall be caught up. The word in the Greek is harpazo. It literally means caught away forcefully in a state of ecstasy. Whew, glory. Hallelujah. And the English word rapture is the equivalent of harpazo. So don't let those people, I won't mention them by name, but they always come by two to your door. They always want you to be awake and see things from their watchtower. Don't let them persuade you that because the word rapture isn't in the King James Bible, it's not in the original. It is there. Harpazo. Caught away forcefully in a state of ecstasy. Raptured. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Changed, if you will, in the twinkling of an eye. But not to be enslaved. Changed, yes. But not to be enslaved, as we read in 1 John 3:2, such beautiful words. When He, Christ, shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Again, Paul says to the Philippian church, we shall be transformed like unto the glorious body of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Brother, you'll be able to walk through solid walls. You'll have complete control of the subatomic structure of your new body. You'll be able by spiritual thought force to transport yourself, not the speed of light, but instantaneously to any portion of the universe you wish to visit. I've already made some plans. Bless your heart, during the millennium, I'm going to get a long weekend and visit the rings of Saturn. Hallelujah. Going to take a picnic lunch. Someday I'm going to get a couple weeks off and visit the very center of the galaxy. My, I want to find out what's going on downtown. Hallelujah. We shall be fashioned like unto the glorious body of His resurrection. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And you just better believe we'll be back. Yes, we will. Not to be the shock troops, but to accompany the rider on the white horse in Revelation 19. As observers of His power, His glory, and His victory. And I heard a great voice in heaven crying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And let me say this, friends. In Genesis, we heard of God's creator relationship to this planet and its inhabitants. John looks into that fire tomorrow and sees a mighty angel flying over the earth, crying out to men during the tribulation, a last plea from the Almighty. What is the context of their message? They cry with a loud voice, thus denoting the importance of what they're saying. They cry out to the inhabitants of the earth, worship the Creator. Worship the God who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the sky. Oh, how great is the faith that God has given us. It is a faith great enough for the space age. God has given us the greatest faith for the space age. He's given us the greatest book for the space age. He has given us the greatest power for the space age, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And He has given us the greatest insight for the space age. For like John of old, we hear the Savior saying to us, "Come up here, and I will show you things to come." And through the Spirit and the study of the Word, we are lifted above the narrow provincialism of this world, and we are able to see things from a divine perspective. Hallelujah! Thank God! The greatest thing in the world is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Read it in Colossians 3:4. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Hallelujah! I just want you to raise your hands and praise God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of truth. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God. Thank you, Father, tonight for the way the Holy Spirit moves in our midst and brings to us revelations of truth.
After hearing the message, "The Mystery of the Unidentified Flying Objects Now Solved in the Light of the Bible," possibly you would like to do some further research. I'll make a couple of suggestions that I think will prove to be helpful. First of all, you should be aware of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. This is an organization that works with and through the Berkeley Christian Coalition in Berkeley, California. Their address is Spiritual Counterfeits Project, Post Office Box 4308, Berkeley, California. That's spelled B-E-R-K-E-L-E-Y, California, zip code 94704. Now, in August of 1977, they published an issue of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project Journal. This is a regular periodical publication. The entire issue, which has been reprinted and is ready for distribution, ready for mailing, the entire issue was entitled UFOs, Is Science Fiction Coming True? There are a series of articles written on a very high level that I think will prove to be most interesting, stimulating, and helpful. Send 50 cents for the August 1977 edition of the SCP Journal to the address that I just gave you. At your local Christian bookstore, you'll either find or they will order for you a book entitled UFOs, What on Earth is Happening? This is a very excellent publication, and you should have it. The authors are Mr. Weldon and Mr. Levitt. You can order this, as I said, from your local Christian bookstore or from the Gospel Publishing House, 1445 Boonville, Springfield, Missouri, zip code 65803. Also, I have available for you, and it is free of charge, a bibliography or a source list of books and tapes available on the subject. I'll be happy to furnish this for you, and there is no charge. My address is David Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Post Office Box 1051, Fairmont, West Virginia, zip code 26554. Also, you may be interested in another source list that we have on the subject of the occult and related subjects. You may order either of these, and there is no charge. Simply write to me, and I'll be happy to send it to you. If you would like, along with other information regarding our films that are available, our tapes, our various ministries of literature, we'll be happy to inform you of these things. If you want that, just ask for the general listing of material in addition to the specified bibliographies. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer, and we trust that you'll...